Your preacher is really proud of you. I mean that. She gets better and better, I'll tell you. How old is Mandy? 18? Just turned 18, didn't she, a little while ago? Yeah. How's Grant doing with that shoulder?
Better.
Good, I'm glad. We had more kids get hurt Sunday. We had a bunch of kids get racked up on Sunday and more things going on. There's never nothing. There's always something going on here at Bethel. There's never a dull day here. Trust me. I've been gone for most days, so I didn't even, I got back around noon, but I don't know what went on this morning with the kids. I had to leave at 7:30, so I didn't get a chance to see the kids. I like to greet the kids. And let's see, Friday's pizza day. Yeah. They had pancakes on Monday. It's worth going to this church, going to school just to get the food they got here. Turn your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 40, if you would. Glad to have each one of you tonight. We do need to put about another 35 people on this side, then we'd have about 25, just even 20. Then we got you. Everyone needs to get visitors and put them on that side for us, okay? Amen. That's all right. The Bible says the first will be last and the last will be first. I want to talk to you. How many got the emails? Preacher sent you those emails. You that asked for them. Is there anyone that said they wanted an email and did not get it? That worked. All right. Oh, I feel pretty good about that. I did about 15 of them individually. I know you can do them all at one time, but I didn't. Nothing's easy with me, Lizzie. I just feel cool that they got it. I emailed, and if you didn't get one and you want it, I think I still have it on there. David Richard, about a couple weeks ago, he told me about Israel preparing the priest with their garments for the new temple. Now, anyone that studies their Bible knows that that third temple has to be built, because during the tribulation, the Antichrist goes in the middle of the trib. The Antichrist goes in and proclaims himself as God. Well, we're going, Revelation 3:10 says, I'll keep you from that hour. Revelation 4:1 says, come up hither. That is the rapture. The church, the Christians are going, we're going out. John, I'm not worried about going through the trib. I'm not worried about the mark of the beast. I'm not looking for the undertaker. I'm waiting for the upper taker. Amen. And so, I know during the trib that the temple will be built. It could be built after the rapture, or it could be built before the rapture. But it has to be built within the first 3.5 years of that tribulation, because in the middle of that trib, he breaks that covenant, and the midst of the week, that's 3.5, and he goes in the temple and proclaims himself as God. Well, right now they don't have a temple. He couldn't do that right now. How many are with me? But I'm all excited about it. Then today, I was even reading today, Mike, on the internet, how on May 21st, not only did that prime minister, I'm not going to try his name, you know who that guy is, the prime minister of Israel, Nat, he said, we're building that third temple. Did you notice what they did that day also, Eddie? They dedicated the cornerstone of the temple. On May 21st, 2009, that's just a few months ago. We're in September. That's the ninth month, and back in May, fifth month? That's only about less than 4 months ago. They had a special service just for the cornerstone for that day of dedicating the cornerstone for the third temple. Now, if you're not excited about that third temple going up, you got a problem. Every Christian ought to be excited about that third temple, because that third temple tells us that Jesus is coming back soon. And so no one knows the time when Christ is going to come back. I don't, you don't, and the guy on TV doesn't either, and the guy that writes the book, buy my book, I'll give you the date. Don't buy the book, he doesn't know it either. But I know one thing, God gives us signs, Brother Billy, and we have signs. And if you understand how the scripture reads, Brother Mike, we know that when that temple goes up, that's it. At any time, it could happen. Amen? Well, I just got thinking about Jerusalem today. Boy, I love Jerusalem, don't you? And I did a word study and things like that. And for instance, I tried to count them all, but let me just say this. There's approximately 800. I could be wrong, one or two. I could be a couple off, but not many. The word Jerusalem is in the Bible approximately 800 times. The word Jerusalem, Mike, 800 times. That's quite a bit. Amen? Wonder if God cares about that city called Jerusalem. He does care about it. You know, and of course you know this, Jerusalem means, when you think what the meaning of Jerusalem means, it kind of gets you at first, but if you know the truth about the Bible, you'll understand it. It means the foundation of peace. The possession of peace. Possessor of peace. Well, Jerusalem's never had peace. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? No, they never have had peace. Matter of fact, they've been literally leveled twice. Brother Mike, 44 times Jerusalem's been captured and recaptured. I mean, down through the years, down through the centuries, there's been battlegrounds and fighting back and forth in Jerusalem. I mean, they've never known peace yet, Brother Dale. But one day when the Prince of Peace comes back, who's Jesus, Israel's going to know peace. And I want to just start you out in Isaiah chapter 40. And Brother Kativer, this is a great... I remember Dr. Brooke teaching me this years ago, back in the 1970s when I went to Bible college. And I remember him sharing this. He taught me the book of Isaiah, and of course the book of Romans and stuff like that. But this verse, and then one other one I'm going to show you in Isaiah. I'm going to show you a couple in Isaiah, but this is a great... Billy, this is a great promise for the nation of Israel. Look at Isaiah chapter 40, and look at verse 1. It says, comfort ye my people, saith your God. How many see that? Yeah. Eddie, Israel needs to be comforted. You know, they're on alert 24 hours a day. The world hates Israel because Satan hates Israel, because Israel is the apple of God's eye. Anything God loves, Satan hates, and he puts it in man to hate him. Are you with me? And comfort ye my people, saith your God. Here's the prophet 700 years before Christ was born, talking about in the future how one day God's going to comfort Israel. Speak ye comfortable to Jerusalem. Notice who he's talking to, Eddie. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished. Yep, someday it's all going to be over. It'll be over for us too. So one day all our battles are going to be over. Amen? I don't know about you, but I'll be glad for that. The battles of just striving through life, the sorrows of life, the health issues of life. I was with Marty this morning, probably about for almost 3 hours. Marty Boggs, last week she fell down walking, and she had some kind of a pan. And you know, Marty's 80 years old, and she's a little over 80, I think. And when she fell, her head, somehow her eye got right inside that pan, and it actually creased her and broke things inside her and everything. Her face looks like someone took a ball bat and beat her face. It was all black. Even where her hands fell, she must have hit something, because on both of her hands, they were bruised. She couldn't even touch them. And one day, all that's going to be behind us. Amen? Amen. All the sorrow, all the sick. Your daddy had a lot of, your mama's going through problems with their legs right now. And many of you know different heartaches and different. Brother Wes got the victory over cancer, but he was battling it a while back, weren't you, Wes? Two times? And one day that's all going to be behind. I'm glad we got the victory. One day it's all going to be over. And all the fighting of Satan and all the temptations that the world tries to do and all the Ohio State and Michigan football games will all be over. They'll all be over. And the Cleveland Browns, they'll never be mentioned again. Oh. Look, let me get on this. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished. See, Israel's got a lot of fighting yet to do. There's still a lot of battling they're gonna, you know. By the way, this ain't in the Bible, but this is just like a little giant eagle coupon, little extra coupon, IGA, whatever you want to call it, Walmart coupon. Don't be surprised if they bomb Iran pretty soon. If our country don't have enough guts to stop them from that nuclear power, Israel will have to, because here's the thing. If Iran gets the nuclear bombs, Brother Ray, they would use it to destroy Israel. Yep. Israel has to stop the Middle East people from being able to destroy them. Yep. Of course, I know the Almighty has a shield around them, but the world wouldn't understand that. You have to deal with them in practical means. Amen? I mean, they could send all the nuke they want up. God could just reach down for him and go, amen? You don't need no Patriot missiles to stop it, amen? He is the Patriot, amen? Let her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned. Oh, yeah, right now Israel's in blindness is imparted in Israel, and now they're being judged, but one day they won't be. Because one day they're going to take, Jesus came riding into Jerusalem, they said, crucify him. But the next time he comes in, they'll be saying he's King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Yeah. Amen? For she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. And so we're looking forward for Jerusalem. Jerusalem's got, what I want to say is, you not only do you got better days ahead of you, Jerusalem's got better days ahead of her. Amen? While you're in Isaiah, why don't you look also at chapter 35. Look at verse 1. This was a prophecy, and this has already come to pass here. The wilderness and how many got 35:1 of Isaiah? Do not lose Isaiah. I'm going to show you one more verse in Isaiah. And then I'm going to get you some teaching on Jerusalem. The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as a rose. How many see that? Years ago, when this was written, it was all desert. But now if you go to places in Israel, some places, they've got all what we call irrigation. And now they've got things that are watered. The deserts are actually blooming because God has given them, of course, the technology to do it. That's a prophecy that came, is fulfilled. Of course, I know the further prophecy of this is talking about even in the future age. But already we're seeing it. Amen? And then look also... today, look at Isaiah chapter 62. And let me give you, I wrote seven quick things here to give to you tonight. Isaiah 62, number one. One day Jerusalem will be the praise of all the earth. Isaiah 62, verse 6 and 7. Now, Eddie, the earth curses Israel. We don't. We love them. But the majority of the world despises Israel. Brother Mike, the majority of the world would like to have Israel wiped off the map, and from all minds of people, but they can't. Notice Isaiah chapter 62, and look at verse 6 and 7. I have set a watchman upon thee, upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day nor night, that ye that make mention of the Lord keep not silence. In other words, always keep preaching about the Lord's people in Israel. Amen? And give him no rest till he established, until he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. How many see that? One day, people aren't going to be cursing Israel. They're going to be praising. One day, they're not going to be cursing Jerusalem. They're going to be praising from Jerusalem and praising God for Jerusalem. Amen? So number one day Jerusalem, we're talking about Jerusalem tonight. I told you that Jerusalem is a proxy. The word is 800 times in the Bible. Number one, Jerusalem will be praised, will be the praise on the earth in the future. Number two, if you look at Psalms 122, verse 6, we are to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Look what it says there in Psalms. Go back a little bit. Go back to Psalms 122 and verse 6. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. You ever wonder why Russia has so much trouble? You ever wonder why Germany had so much trouble? You ever notice the people that tried to persecute Israel and Jerusalem had so much trouble? Because they went against God's people. How many are with me? Now, they have to be saved just like you and I. I understand that. But God has set them apart. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. Remember, you can put there Genesis 12, verse 3, where God told Abraham, I'll bless them that bless you and curse them that curse you. Genesis 12, 3. Why do you think America is so blessed? One reason that America is so blessed is because America has blessed Israel. I pray, Brother Billy, that America will never, never turn her back on Israel. According to Scripture, I think she's gonna. But hopefully it won't be till after we leave. Amen? In the rapture. But one day, I fear that our country will turn their back on Israel. But I hope it's not till after the rapture. But God has blessed America, I believe, number one, because we blessed Israel. Number two, because we preach the gospel. We proclaim it and we get out the Bible. We publish the Word of God. And no country's ever put out more missionaries than America. Now America needs missionaries, though. Yep. By the way, we're having a revival with Dr. Roy. The Old Pass revival, October 4th through the 7th with Dr. Roy Thompson. But if you'll note, it says there in verse 6, pray for the peace of Jerusalem, they shall prosper that love thee. Jerusalem don't know what it is to have peace. Matter of fact, when they make that, they're going to make a peace treaty with the Antichrist after the rapture, a 7-year peace treaty. Because all they want is peace. Please, leave us alone. We're just on a little tiny bit of, Israel's a dot on the map. I mean, Rhode Island's got more land than Israel. There's some spots in Israel, Betty, that's only 8 miles wide. That's like from here to Kent. I'm talking about the whole nation. Are you with me? In some places. How many are with me? The landmass of Israel is so tiny, and yet the world wants what that little bit that they have. Wonder why. It's all Satan. And darkness, power of darkness. So we're told to pray for the peace of it. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. While you're in Psalms, why don't you look at chapter 125? Look at verse 1 and 2. They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. And as the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about his people from henceforth, even how long? Forever. God's never going to take his hand off of them. He's never going to take his hand. Isn't that exciting? He's never, never, never going to take. Just like he gives a Christian, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. We've got eternal security. They've got an eternal hand of protection over them from God as far as their nation. Are you with me? I didn't say heaven. I said their nation. He's protecting them as a nation. Are you still with me? And then, so number one, I said one day Jerusalem will be the praise of the earth. I said number two, we're to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. God loves those that love them. Number three, Jerusalem is the apple of God's eye. Look at turn up farther in your Old Testament. Zechariah, go past Isaiah, go past Jeremiah, Ezekiel. Zechariah chapter 2, and I got a couple verses in Zechariah. Go past Daniel, Obadiah, Haggai, Zechariah. Look at Zechariah chapter 2 and verse 8. If you can't find it in the front of your Bible, you got a concordance, an index there to show you exactly where it's at. And sometimes those little Old Testament books are hard to find. But it says in Zechariah, and I'm going to give you a couple verses in Zechariah. In Zechariah chapter 2, verse 8, "For thus saith the Lord of hosts, after the glory hath he sent me unto the nations which spoiled you, for he that touches you touches the apple of his eye." How many see that? In other words, you better not mess with God. You better not mess with Jerusalem. You mess with Jerusalem, you're in trouble. How many are with me? Don't think that God don't care about Jerusalem and about the people of Israel. He cares about them. He, long time ago, years before, back with Abraham, he started with Abraham. You remember Abraham? Abraham waited 25 years to have Isaac, and Isaac had Jacob, and Jacob had the 12 sons, and through them he had the 12 tribes. How many are with me? God has watched over them, and by that, to the seed, Christ came. I'm in Zechariah chapter 2, verse 8. "For thus saith the Lord of hosts, after the glory he had sent me unto thy nations, which spoiled you, for he had touched you, and for he that touches you," Zechariah 2, 8, he that touches you touches the apple of his eye. You better not mess with Israel. We got an old saying when I was a kid, you better watch out, you're on thin ice. How many ever heard that? Well, you're on thin ice when you're messing with the apple of God's eye. While you're still in Zechariah, why don't you look at Zechariah chapter 8, verse 3. By the way, there's thousands. I could be going forever on this stuff, but I just picked out a few of them. Number three, Jerusalem's the apple of God's eye. Number four, Jerusalem's called the city of truth. Wonder why? Because I wonder if that's because the truth came out of there, named Jesus. Jesus, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Everything, all the stem from Jerusalem stems truth. Amen. From Christ, he was crucified there. He risen there. He's coming back there. Hello? Thus saith the Lord, I am returned. How many are in Zechariah chapter 3, verse 8? Chapter 8, verse 3, I'm sorry. Chapter 8, verse 3. Thus saith the Lord, I am returned unto Zion and will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. And Jerusalem shall be called a city of truth. And the mountain of the Lord of the hosts and the holy mountain. See, one day Jesus is going to reign there. People are going to come, and the king, they're going to come in there. Jesus is going to reign on earth, Billy. And everything's going to come through Jerusalem. They say the Super Bowl, you have to go through Pittsburgh. To get truth, you got to go through Jerusalem. Amen. Amen. And thank God for that great city, which is called the City of Truth. Do you see that again? It shall be called a City of Truth. How many see that? Then number five, Jerusalem will be attacked by Russia. And if you want to turn back, look at Ezekiel chapter 38 and 39. Turn back a couple books. Ezekiel chapter 38. Go back a little ways from where you were just now. Ezekiel, yep. Zeke. Little Zeke. Chapter 38. Made me think of Zeke and Samara. two of our children here. Ezekiel 38, verse 15 and 16. How many have got that? This is a whole... I'm just taking this because I could spend 2 hours just on this one chapter. "And thou shalt come from the place out of the north parts, If you'd go, Diane, if you'd go directly north of Jerusalem, straight up, you put Jerusalem, go directly north, straight north from Jerusalem, you're going to run smack dab into Russia, right into Moscow. It's amazing. And thou shalt come from the north, the place out of the north parts, thou and many people with thee, and all of them riding upon horses, a great company and a mighty army. Russia, if you look over there in verse 1 and 2 and 3, it talks about Rosh and Meshach. That's Russia, a chief prince of Meshach, Tubal. That's all Russia there. One day in the future. Now, by the way, look up here. Jordan, we're not going to see this. That's during the trib. This ain't going to happen. This is not going to happen before the rapture, Brother Mike. This will happen after the rapture. Matter of fact, it's going to happen after, near the end of the trib. Are you with me? How many are still with me? But look at verse 16. And thou shalt come up against my people Israel as a cloud to cover the land. They're going to go over the Caucasus Mountains. And it shall be in the latter days. Every time you see the word latter days, John, latter days always refers to the last 3.5 years of the tribulation. And I will bring thee against my land, that the heathen may know me, when I shall be sanctified of thee, O God, before their eyes. If you want to turn to chapter 39, verse 1 through 4, it just picks it up again. Therefore, thou son of man, prophesy against Gog, and thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against thee, O Gog, chief prince of Meshach. Meshach is Moscow. Are you with me? How many are with me? In Tubal. And I will turn thee back and leave. I'm in chapter 39 of Ezekiel, verse 2. And turn thee back and leave me but the sixth part of thee, and will cause thee to come up on the north parts, and will bring thee upon the mountains of Israel. How many see that? And so Russia is going to definitely come down during the trib, and they're going to attack. They're going to come right down on Jerusalem. But don't worry. God, the Bible teaches, God's going to put hooks in their jaws, and God's going to stop them. Isn't that exciting? It hasn't even happened, and I already know who the winner is. Isn't that great? Let me see, Billy. Oh, Jesus wins. Amen? Aren't you glad you're on the winning side? And then number 6, Jesus spoke affectionately about Jerusalem. Look at, now we'll go to the New Testament. I'll give you a few scriptures in New Testament. Look at Luke chapter 13, verse 34. It's a familiar scripture. Luke chapter 13, verse 34. You can just see the affection pouring out of Jesus' heart for Jerusalem. Luke chapter 13, verse 34. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which you got? Do you have Luke 13, 34? O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killest the prophets, stonest them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and you would not. Can you imagine? Jesus, in other words, Jesus says, boy, I wish I could just take you in my arms sometimes, just like a hen chick would get her chicken and put it underneath her. Can you just imagine Jesus? I can see him doing that. But he said, you would not. But one day they will. Right now they're stiff-necked and they're rebellious and they're blind to the truth about Christ. But one day they will. Hallelujah. Amen. And so one day Jerusalem will affectionately receive their Savior. And then number 7, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22. Jerusalem's called the city of God. Jerusalem, look at Hebrews. Keep turning, I'm heading towards the Revelation. Hebrews, right before James. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22. By the way, do you think if Jesus had affection for Jerusalem, do you think we ought to have affection for Jerusalem? I think so too. You think if he cared a lot, we should care too? And then Jerusalem, number 7, Jerusalem is called the city of God. Hebrews 12:22. But ye are come unto the Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God. How many see that? The heavenly Jerusalem and to innumerable company of angels. So many angels, you can't count them. But did you notice what he calls? The Jerusalem is called the city of God. Don't mess with that city. It's the city of God. Are you with me? I mean, I was born in Toledo. I'm from Toledo. And where was Paul born? I can't pull it up right now. The Apostle Paul. Tarsus, yeah, Paul of Tarsus. He was a man from Tarsus. And in John 1:1, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. And I mean, there was a lot of great guys and a lot of great cities, but there's no greater one than God, the Creator. Amen? And Jerusalem, the city of God. You know what? When people mess with this Jerusalem, they're messing with God's city. How many are with you? You know why I want to put this in your heart? I don't think Christians realize how important Jerusalem is. You got no part of your salvation. I'm not preaching nothing, no works, nothing like that. I'm just trying to tell you, I think Christians ought to be aware how important. And when we encourage our politicians, we should encourage them to stand with Israel, not against Israel. We should voice up, say, no, I want to help Israel. I don't want to go against them. There's a tendency now to try to turn their back on Jerusalem and all Israel, and we should stand. I think we should start voicing out. Yes. You know, years ago, people used to voice out, but they don't do it anymore. I think we need to be letting it known. Let it know. Let people know where you work. Let people know where you stand. Let people know what the Bible says. Hey, don't be talking bad about them Jewish people. Don't be making fun of Israel. Don't be mocking Jerusalem. Did you give them that scripture? Say, hey, because they don't know, Brother Mike. It's a great witnessing piece. Say, hey, you're making fun of Jerusalem? Did you know Jerusalem's a city of God? I'm talking about the Creator of heaven and earth. Do you know that it's in the Bible says that city's a city of God? Yeah, look, I'm going to get my Bible and show it to you. You don't know, that might put a spark in their heart, and they might say, wow, tell me more about that. You don't know what God can use. We just don't ever speak up, and we don't know enough about our Bible to even give it to anybody when you do have a chance. One thing old John Brooke taught me, he told me, put Scripture in your heart. You can't, the Holy Spirit can bring up Scripture. It's like a gun. I know it's called a sword, but I've got a 9mm at home, and I've got a few shotguns too. But if I had that 9mm, Brother Mike, and it's got a clip of eight, every clip's got 8 rounds. But if I had that 9mm and say, come on ahead, and there was no clip in there with no bullets, would that 9mm do me any good? I've got some shotguns over there with scopes on them. But if I didn't have any deer slugs or some other kind of shells in there, some 12-gauge shells, I could point that gun all day long, but if there's not a shell in there, what good is it going to do me? Hello? Oh, it might scare some people off at first, but after a while, they're going to say, I'm going to call his bluff. Then you stand with an empty gun. Then you got egg all over your face. That's a lot of Christians today. We spout off, but then when it comes time to pull up some scripture, I mean, put it from our heart, where we have empty, our heart's empty. And we need to have the scripture in our heart. Amen? And the Holy Spirit can bring it up if you'll have it in there. You just got to load up. Trouble is, not many two people are loading up anymore. Walking around with empty guns. Amen? We got a great sword here, but if you don't have it sharp, dull knives and dull swords don't cut very hard. We need to keep it sharp. We need to keep sharpening us with the word. Amen? Study thyself approved. Study thyself. self on the work, a workman that study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The trouble we don't study. And you, boy, that preacher, all he did was give us a little Bible outline. Man, it was boring. Yeah, I know. But if you take some notes and go home and read some of those things and start thinking about what I'm telling you, maybe the Holy Spirit will say, oh, wow, yeah. Hello? The Bible teaches that it's the city of God. Number 8, Jerusalem's going to be the focus of the whole world during the tribulation. Look at Revelation. I'm going to give you two scriptures in Revelation. Look at Revelation chapter 11. Here's a controversy going. I'm going to talk to you about those two witnesses. Revelation chapter 11. Revelation's in the, if it's not in the front of your Bible, try the last book in your Bible. The first Bible says Genesis, which is, means the book of beginnings. But Revelation is the last book. Jesus said, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. How many are with me? I want you to look at Revelation chapter 11. After the rapture, during the tribulation, God's going to raise up two witnesses. Well, he's going to have more than that, but these two witnesses are going to have great power. And they're going to cause a lot of havoc. The world's going to hate them. Because they're going to have special powers from God. And they're going to be killed. They're going to kill them right in the city of Jerusalem. In the middle of the tribulation, they're going to be killed. And they're going to leave their dead bodies lay in the streets of Jerusalem for 3.5 days. This is during the trib. Are you with me? Right in the middle of the trib. And then God's going to give them a mini rapture. God's going to raise them up after 3 days, Mike, and they're... But we're already going to be up there. How many are with me? Well, I want you to read what this is saying. And you think Jerusalem's in the paper now. Huh. They'll be on every newspaper in the world back then. And there was given me a reed, like under a rod, and the angel... Are you in 13? I mean 11, 11, 1 of Revelation? And rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and worship therein. See, there's that temple again, Eddie. Hey, did I tell you they're going to build it? Did I tell you they got the cornerstone? Did I tell you that they're getting they're measuring the priest for the garments? How many know about that? Did you know we're reading about what they're talking about doing now, what's going to happen in the near future? Hey, hey, hey. Hey, hey, hey. I'm excited about that. And measure the temple. Measure the temple. Hello? Anybody home? Did I tell you they made a bold statement that they're definitely building that third temple? Hey, Mike, did I tell you they brought the cornerstone on May 21st this year? Did I tell you the prime minister not knew nothing? No, he said they're definitely going to build it? Did I tell you that they're already, and I can prove this stuff, everything I'm saying, I can prove it. It's already history. It's already fact. It's history. Did I tell you they're already making the garments for the priests? Are you still with me? What you're reading is going to happen. How many are with me? And but the court which is without the temple, leave out the measure and given the Gentiles and the holy city, they shall tread upon the foot 42 months. 42 months is 3.5 years, half of 7. How many are still with preacher? I'm almost done. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, 260 days. In the Jewish calendar, is only 30 days per month. And they're clothed in sackcloth. These are two olive trees and two candlesticks standing before God on the earth. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceeds out of their mouth. Woo! Better not mess with them, buddy. There's some bad sticks. If any man hurt them, he must, in the manner, be killed. If you do anything, the way you hurt, if you try to hurt him, that's how you're going to be killed. Wow. Like a boomerang. These two witnesses for God, verse 6, they have power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of the prophecy. I know a guy in the Old Testament named Elijah. He shut the waterworks off for 3.5 years and have power over waters to turn them into blood. I know a guy named Moses that did that back in the book of Exodus. Can I tell you something, though? I don't know who these... I'm not going to... You know, it could be Elijah. It could be Moses. It could be Enoch. I don't know. You know what? I'm not going to... Look up here. You tell me there's not... You tell me you don't believe in eternal security of the believer. I'll sit down with you, and I'll be dogmatic on that doctrine, because that's true. I can prove that. I'm not going to fight anybody who these two witnesses are. Don't lose your... Don't get all flustered and say, well, preacher, he believes it. He don't believe it's Elijah, and he believes it's somebody else. I said, oh, who cares? Hello? I'm not going to be there. What's it matter? I have my ideas. The Bible says there's a point under man wants to die, and then the judgment. The only two men that I know that has never died is Elijah didn't die. He, in 2 Kings, he was two. He was taken up in a whirlwind. Remember that? And there was a man in Genesis 5, verse 24, that walked with God and was not. That was Enoch. Now, whether these are those two guys, you know, I know they never found the body of Moses, too, by the way. They never found the body of Moses. But he did die. How many are still with me? You know what? Look up here, Eddie. Don't get frustrated with people over things that don't matter. There's two witnesses. I don't know who they are. I just know they're for God. Who cares? Amen? And but if you really want me to tell you that, they're probably Elijah and Enoch. If you want to be wrong, you can be wrong. When we get to heaven, you can tell me you were right, preacher. But I'm not going to argue with over it. I mean, I'm right. If you're wrong, you're wrong. What's the difference? But I wouldn't argue with it, Brother Mark. The Bible says those that are ignorant, let them say ignorant if you want to don't understand the scripture. I'm having fun with you right now. I really am. I think I am. I wouldn't argue over it, though. Preachers, don't argue over that. You already know it's Elijah and Enoch. I told you it was. They have power to shut up heaven and the rain that, and then turn to blood in verse 6 and smite the earth with all the plagues, just like Moses did. Hello? How many are with me? And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them, shall overcome them and kill them. And the dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city. That great city is Jerusalem, by the way. What I'm trying to show you is this, the reason I'm reading this, Jerusalem is going to be, the whole world is going to be, Jerusalem is going to be the, Brother Kataver, Jerusalem is going to be the focus of the whole world. By the way, it's already almost the whole, the world's focusing on Jerusalem now. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street in the great city, which is spiritually called Sodom in Egypt, which also our Lord was crucified. What city was Jesus crucified? Right outside of Jerusalem. And they of the people and the kindred of tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3.5 days. By the way, and nations shall see. How are they going to see them? Just like they do now, national satellites. Are you with me? And verse 10, And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them, make merry. They shall send gifts, kind of like Christmas. Because these two prophets tormented them. That were, you know, the world never does like people of God. You ever notice that? They never do like, they ain't going to like us at the end either. Once in a while, it's good to irritate them a little bit. Isn't it? And after these 3 days and a half, the spirit of the life, see, all life comes from God. The spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood up upon their feet. Can you imagine those people when this is future, hasn't happened yet. Can you imagine, Eddie, when all the world sees those guys stand straight up? Huh. Who's the jaybird? There'd be so many people like Larry Moe and Cole. Boop, 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 boop. They'd be running. Help! Then the next thing, God's going to say, come on up, boys. You've done your job. And we'll be rooting them. We'll be in heaven. We're going to be in that heavenly court. We're going to be rooting them, say, praise God. Way to go, Elijah. Way to go. Enoch, amen. Or Moses, or whoever you are. Wherever they are, we're going to say amen. Praise God. Preacher said he was right. He knew you were. I lost my thought, Eddie. What verse am I on? I'm trying to get down here. Verse 11. And great fear fell upon them that saw them, and they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, come up hither. How many see that? If you hold your hand right there, and I'm already went over. Look at Revelation 4:1. Look at 4:1. After this, I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven. The first voice which I heard was it was a trumpet. That trumpet's talked about in Thessalonians and also 1 Corinthians 15, 1 Thessalonians 4. It's talk about the rapture, the trump of God when we go up in the rapture. This is the rapture right here. How many see what I'm talking? And he says, the door opened, the heaven opened, and the first voice which I heard was a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither. Okay, we're up, Eddie. Now, 3.5 years later, these two guys are still down there. They got to go up too. A mini rapture. Just them, though. Hello? How many are still with me? I'm not calling it the rapture. I'm just getting you to. How many's comparing the scriptures? They're taken up to heaven just like we are taken up. How many of you see what I'm trying to show you? And so, pretty exciting. And you know where it's going to all happen, Miss Ruth? Jerusalem, Jerusalem. It's all going to happen right there. Pretty cool city when you think about it, amen? Let me just give you, it's already after 8. I'll give you the one last scripture. I'll just read it. And look at Revelation chapter 1, 21, verse 1 and 2. I was going to preach on it, but I can't now. Out of time, but there'll be another day. If not, well, Jesus tells us all about when we get there. Revelation chapter 21, verse 1 and 2. Number 9, Jerusalem is an eternal. Don't look down on Jerusalem. It's going to be an eternal city. And I saw a new heaven. Are you in Revelation 21:1? New earth. For the first heaven, the first earth, were passed away. There was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. How many can say amen? What I'm trying to tell you is, Jerusalem is going to be an eternal city. Oh, not the one over there right now. But God, Jerusalem's never going to die out, Mike. God's going to make a new one. And it's Jerusalem. Jerusalem's an eternal city. Remember when I first told you that Jerusalem meant peace? How many remember that? That's when they're going to know. When they get to that new heaven and new earth and that new Jerusalem, then you're going to see peace forever. All of us are. No more wars. No more heartaches. No more death. No more sorrow. Whew. Pretty exciting. Amen? And no more tears. I'm pretty excited about it. Keep your eye on Jerusalem. It's the city of God. It's the apple of his eye. It's the city of truth. It's an eternal city. Keep looking for the city. Amen? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, thank you for the time we've had. I pray you'll bless us as we look towards you to come. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Oh, dear God, thank you for Jerusalem. Thank you for the people of Jerusalem. Please bless them. Help them. Lord, I pray they'll see the Messiah. Oh, God, I would to God they receive their Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. Open their eyes to the true Messiah, which is Christ. Help us to be a witness to all that we come in contact. And, Lord, help us to be excited for that wonderful city of God, that wonderful city called Jerusalem, the city that God's the maker of. I pray that you'll bless our people as they leave tonight. Give them a safe journey home. And Lord, help them to go forward in for the cause of Christ. I wonder before we leave, though, how many could say, Pastor, I know for sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. Could you raise that hand? I'm positive I'm saved. I know if I died, I'd go to heaven. Because if you're not saved, you won't go to heaven. You'll die and go to hell. There is a heaven. There is a hell. You must be born again. Maybe right before I pray to close, you'd say, Preacher, I've got some problems. And I have some special requests. Pray for me. Yes, I see that. Yes, ma'am. Who else? Yes, I saw that. Yes, sir. I see that. Preacher, include me in that prayer. I've got some special requests. God knows your heart. Yes, sir, I see that. God bless you. The Lord saw it too. Yes, ma'am. The Lord saw that. And include me in that, Pastor. I'm getting ready to pray. Include me in that. I need special prayer. Something in your life you need? Yes, sir. God bless you. The Lord sees that. I talked to you Sunday about precious things. Remember, I showed you in Psalms 139, verse 17 and 18. His thoughts towards you are precious. And the Bible says in verse 18 of Psalms 139, they're as a sand. There's so many thoughts that God has for you. They're as a sand. Can you imagine how much sand there is in the world? Do you know how many thoughts God has for you? Do you realize how important you are to God? You're a VIP. Father, I pray for you. Lord, many raised their hand on both sides. Pray that you'd help them. Lord, to my best of my knowledge, every person did raise their hand that they were saved. So everyone here is a professing child of God. And Lord, I thank you for that. And Father, I pray that you'd be with your children. Help them to go out this week. Help them to meet the challenges that come before them. And lift up their heart. Be an encourager of their life. Give them faith to believe. Help them to act on faith. And Lord, you saw every hand that had special needs. Would you reach down and help them on those special needs right now? God, would you pay special attention to those? They raised their hand because there was something special in their heart. I know your Bible tells me in Psalms 37:4 that if I delight in the Lord, he'll give me the desires of my heart. I pray that they would delight in you and that you would give them the desires of their heart and the needs of their life. I pray in Christ's name. Amen. We're going to just stand and sing one verse while Debbie plays. We're going to just sing one. If you want to come and pray, you can. We're going to just do one verse, Brother Mark.